Nobody home on the left side of the infield, but Yoan's probably trying to pull it.
He does. Hard hit and throw! Moncada with a game winner! He tied it! He won it! 3-2, your final score!
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show number 1114 continues. We are excited to be the flagship for White Sox Radio. And Ed and DJ will do those games. Of course, Steve Stone checks in with us every week. But, you know, one of the great stories in baseball, and I'm telling you, one of the best play-by-play guys, period, Jason Benetti, joins us now on the phone. And if you're half as excited as Steve Stone was last week, I like our chances.
I was excited in the first place, but when we got together for dinner last night in Kansas City, we were both over the moon. I'm ready to go. You could have rolled the ball out there at like 11 o'clock last night, and I'd have done the game. But this is going to be such a fun season.
Jason, how much higher is that level of excitement for you than it was last opening day?
Well, since I got to see you at a couple Northwestern basketball games, it's much higher.
It's quite a thrill, isn't it, Jason?
It is. First of all, this is my first opening day personally, so I'm a little more excited. And number two, I just think this clubhouse has an otherworldly sense about it. These guys like each other so much and are so like-minded in what they're aiming at in being the core of the White Sox for years to come and doing it together as much as you can in a sport with trades and free agency. I'm thrilled to see what the atmosphere was like in spring training. That was a big time plus. And I think everybody's just ready to really entertain and entertain each other while they're doing it this season.
How much of that, Jason, do you attribute to the guidance of Ricky Renteria and the tone that he sets?
I mean, here's the thing that he is so exceptional at. Some people, as they're watching the game, say, well, why didn't this guy get pulled from the game for doing X? And sometimes Ricky does that. But, and you'll see it in our coverage if you look for it. There are moments when somebody will come off the field and Ricky Renteria will go to them immediately and have a teaching moment. And yes, for 28 to 32-year-olds, he can still do that. And he does it because they know it's in their best interest to listen. But the other component is, while that negative thing is happening on the field, Ricky will turn to the other folks on the bench and say, that's what not to do. He's very savvy at knowing when to hit the button psychologically and when not to, and when to kind of let it play out itself. But he does not let things sit in the ether for very long. He would rather address it. And so I think that's an exceptional point, that he is very much a part of that atmosphere. I mean, every day in spring training, I don't know what goes on in these meetings because they're team-only meetings, but I hear stories about, like, people creating videos and some people playing musical instruments. It's like there's, like, part talent show and part motivation. I mean, it's very much a cohesive family-like thing. And a lot of people say that in sports, you know, well, this is family and we're acting like family. It's kind of like a crazy family, but it's very enjoyable. He knows that there is a combination of work and play, and I think he hits the right spot.
You know, as this season cranks up, everybody's thinking, well, you know, we've seen the depth of the farm system, and we hear people, baseball experts, alleged and otherwise, say this is a team that could be 3 years away. You know, baseball, those turns can happen quicker. They can take longer. But it does seem, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but it does seem like, to use a cliche, a lot of the pieces are already in place.
Well, it's opening day. We get to use all the baseball
cliches right.
We want.
Anything's possible.
Part of it. Somebody just opened the cabinet, so they're spilling out. Pick them up as you can. No, I think you're right. I mean, the window in Major League Baseball now is the fact that, number one, it's the length of the window is based, I think, on the volume of your prospects and how many you have. And that's where the Sox have done a bang-up job. But also, the window creaks open accidentally sometimes. like Minnesota last year. The Twins did not believe, even right before the trade deadline, that they were going to contend. They went and got Jaime Garcia, and then 10 days later they traded him away because they got swept on a West Coast road trip. So I think quite often the window is fleeting. I don't think the Sox are chasing this year, and I actually think that puts them in a much more stable situation, just a group mentally, that everybody in the organization is very much on board with this direction. So there's not going to be that tug and pull. It's kind of, hey, this is us, this is who we have. And if at some point at the deadline a couple guys get flipped again, then that might be the direction they go. But at this point, you get the feeling like the window may open sooner than we believe. But that's not to guarantee it. It's just to say, if you have this positive of a clubhouse presence and some people play above where the projections believe they might, it's one-third of the teams in the American League who make the playoffs. So it's not completely far-fetched to think that the window could prematurely open.
Well said by you. What do you make of the division? Who do you like in the division? Who's obvious and who's a sleeper other than obviously our Sox?
It's kind of weird. The feeling is Cleveland is going to be really good again. Lindor and Ramirez and Kluber. I mean, it's headlining star potential, MVP-like caliber guys. So Cleveland, for me, is probably going to win the division. Minnesota did some damage in terms of rebuilding the back end of its pitching staff with Jake Odorizzi and Lance Lynn, and there are some positives there. Kansas City just lost Salvador Perez carrying his luggage for 4 to 6 weeks. He partially tore his MCL, so he's not going to start behind the plate today. Kansas City's kind of in a strange situation, too, because they're like half rebuild, but Moustakas is back for a year, but they lost Hosmer, so it's some of the same guys. And then Detroit has all these veterans, and the reports from spring training are that Victor Martinez looks as fit as he has in years, and I know he's had a heart issue, but he looks as fit as he has in years, and the Tigers are trying to reload for one more run at it. My feeling is the Sox could very easily finish somewhere in like the third place range ahead of Kansas City and Detroit, just because I think the Sox have a clearer direction. So they're not going to get caught in between. I'm not going to say anything's impossible, right? Like Cleveland could have a bunch of injuries. The division could be down. Who knows where the Sox guys play? But my feeling is third or fourth is probably most likely this season. But the division is down from where it was previously, I think.
You know, I guess I haven't paid much attention to the Royals. Is this a Marlins situation where you win the World Series, can't afford to keep guys or decide to get rid of them? How do they get in a rebuild 2 years later?
No, I think it's aging. I think it's more about aging and the way baseball is going in terms of reaching toward prospects rather than veterans. I mean, Eric Hosmer remained unsigned for a pretty lengthy period of time before he went to San Diego. And then Moustakas was kind of just suspended out there in free agent land for a while, too. And the Royals said, well, we kind of need a third baseman, so you should come back for a year. It's not as much of a demolition as it is kind of a slow burn with aging. So Kansas City does have some young players who you'll see today, but there's also this kind of potpourri of veterans like Lucas Duda in the lineup, and Moustakas is back. And Alex Gordon, if he was the Alex Gordon of old, maybe it's a different story as well, but he struggled offensively last year. So it's just that Kansas City has not loaded up its farm system as the Sox or the Padres or the Braves have. They're kind of that tweener spot, which I know we're familiar with.
Yeah, the Moustakas thing was weird because he turned down the qualifying offer, ends up signing for millions and millions less. Jason, let me ask you, as you look at the White Sox roster, well, let's look at the projected starting lineup for today. We know who the stars are on this team. We know about Abreu. We know who the anticipated stars are. Give us a sleeper on this team, a guy that after watching him in spring training, maybe watching him last year some, you expect to have a year that maybe Sox fans aren't expecting.
I think Adam Engel, and we've not been shy about documenting that, and there have been people on the beat that have written stories about Adam and his change in terms of where his hand position is at the plate. But he hit 166 last year and was still defensively one of the top center fielders in baseball. I mean, he was, they call it outs above average. He was tied for third in outs above average that he created. So essentially, take your average center fielder, the average number of outs that he would create, and then Adam was well above that in short time. So that's a volume stat. So saying that he's top three while not spending the whole season in Major League Baseball is superlative. So I think, I mean, he hits 166 last year. I think that's not going to happen. And you don't need to go out on a limb to say that, because if he started that way, the Sox have options for center fielders, so he probably wouldn't get the chance, I wouldn't say. But I think based on, you know, his really ridiculous offensive numbers in spring training and his different swing path now, I do sense that he's bound to have probably a substantially better year at the plate.
It's Jason Benetti. We look forward to having you on whenever you're available and talking about the Sox. We're thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy to be available if you guys are so wonderful as this time. Yeah. And it seems like that's always true.
Yeah, it really is. As long as Ennett's involved, it really is. We're delightful.
Most of the time, Jason. Most of the time.
Jason, thanks, man. Have a great opener.
Like the caveat. Thank you.
Thanks,
we're going to enjoy it.
Have fun today.
9:55, Bill and Mystery. Who's with Bill today?
I don't know, but don't you love Jason's voice?
He's just great, period.
He's terrific.
He's great, period.
He's just
voice.
As good a guy as he is in an
Yeah, and along with doing a great game, he's just thrilled to be here and delivers every game.
Southside guy.